As is our custom, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer before we begin our study. And you may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your doctrine. It is our prayer that as we provide the concentration, the Holy Spirit will instruct us, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Before resuming, I want to point out on page 343 the excerpt on the fifth column. That is from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language with regard to the evanescent divine power system in which we function when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The fifth column is from the New Encyclopedia Britannica's Micropedia 15th edition. I would suggest that you read those two paragraphs, and then as you leave here, if you're not familiar with fifth columns, then you'll be able to observe fifth columns in the United States of America over the course of the next year, at least possibly for the next five. And I mention that to you because the fifth columns, and I use that in the plural, because there are many fronts that have been in evidence really almost an entire century. We've studied these things in the past, but coming into the 1900s, there were people in our country who had positions of authority in which they were communicating the lie. And they've done it for so long that those who are their students, let's say, especially in the federal school system, they're being propagandized by the lie. And so academia is a place where you can find so many people who are fifth column functionaries. And therefore, they've propagandized our youth, and now the youth are in the streets. And their goal, let's say it, is to tear down freedom and replace it with tyranny. And that is, of course, being reflected in their decision-making and their problem-solving. You can't break down a system and move away freedoms from individuals and at the same time want to impose regulations on free-functioning citizens. There are those who want to amend in certain ways the Constitution. I can tell you that some people have even mentioned doing away with the Electoral College. This will take a vote that is ratified by three-quarters of the states to get rid of that. You can't amend the Constitution itself. We're not talking about the amendments. The Constitution cannot be amended except for three-quarters approval of the states. So that's a rough road to hoe, but my point is the fifth column has brought us to the discussion on that very idea. So give some thought to read those two paragraphs. Now, we left off by defining a couple of phrases on the fifth column, and that takes us to point seven. These fifth columns are ever present, either intrinsically or extrinsically, to constantly tempt the believer to opt for human viewpoint, whose production immediately pulls them out of fellowship and into the cosmic systems. And so in our society today, we have a large contingent of people who are functioning in the cosmic systems. And they are making statements that they assert are true and are in opposition to the lie. In other words, human viewpoint is being accepted as the norm, whereas divine viewpoint is being described as the lie. So this rock and roll back and forth may be described as living life inside and outside the bubble. And this describes the inconsistency of a believer's spiritual growth. And if you don't have any spiritual growth whatsoever, you are therefore vulnerable to not only believe the lie, but to buy the lie and then execute the lie. Reversionism is an ongoing process that drags the believer down not only into the cosmic systems, but embeds him in a permanent decline that is characterized by opposition to God, by opposition to the Word of God or doctrine, and in opposition to absolutes, absolutes that have been discerned over the decades and the centuries as therefore necessary for a free society. Reversionism, therefore, is the alteration of one's free will to exchange the truth for the lie. And over time, this extended residence in the cosmic systems causes reverse process reversionism, which causes the person to buy the lie as truth, reject the truth as being the lie. This is an inversion of thought, and when there is a massive inversion of thought in a client nation, there is no way that freedom can survive. And so you are those who are front rankers. You're out on the front lines. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter anything about your background, anything. What matters is what do you have in your soul and what are you willing to defend. So Paul commented on this dichotomy in Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Greek word there is amen. And the best translation of amen is, I am telling you the truth. So when you're reading in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, and you come to a verse that has an amen at the end of it, just remember that what you just read was the truth. And that is an application, of course, that you can instantly orient to and adopt. Now let's note in paragraph C a few biblical descriptions of reversionism. Now this will require of you to go through these to see exactly how it might benefit you in organizing your souls with regard to divine viewpoint. But there are some extractions here that may be helpful. First of all, Galatians 5:4, you have fallen from grace. Works is the opposite. Works is where you decide to do something in order to aggrandize your opinions, your belief systems, or what have you. And then to want to impose those ideas on others. And so you have fallen from grace. Grace is a concept that allows you the freedom to use your volition to reach decisions and therefore ultimately actions that are designed to promote the Word of God rather than in some way to override it. And so Galatians 5:4 says, when you do that kind of thing, you've fallen from grace. Everything is grace, and grace allows you to use your free will to do whatever you want to do. And that's a fact. People do this all day long, every day. There needs to be some guidance within a system. And in the system called the human race, the best guidance for good decision making is found in the Word of God, the adoption of these principles and ideas, and therefore utilizing them to make good decisions from a position of strength. When you do that, you have executed amen. You've seen the truth, you've bought the truth, you've retained it, and then you've applied it. God honors His Word wherever it is found. Secondly, Philippians 3:18, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And so if you are in reversionism, Christ is your enemy, and Christ therefore is in charge, and so you've decided to fight the wrong person. Number three, 1 Timothy 1:19. Keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. I don't know about you, but when you have a shipwreck, you're in danger of drowning. That's why I don't like boats. You say, well, why don't you? I think boats are fine as long as I'm not on one. But I never learned how to swim, so if I'm in the drink, I'm done for. I'll either drown or a fish will eat me. Number four, 2 Timothy 2:26. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him. So Lucifer's got his program, he's got his philosophies, his doctrines of demons, as it's phrased in Scripture. And so when you have that going on, you buy into it and then use that, or at least you accept that as the truth, then you start applying that. And ultimately, that's not going to work, and the ramifications of ignoring the lie, but by ignoring the truth, but yet buying the lie, means that you are in danger of severe discipline from on high. God honors His word. He doesn't honor the lie. Number five, Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. If you're coming short of the grace of God, you are therefore ensconced in works. Number six, 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil is a name, a nickname for Lucifer. He is alive and well. He's functional on planet Earth. He's got his fifth column. He uses it consistently, and you, therefore, are targets. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He devours those who have no truth or absent of truth or reject truth. He can recruit them in a heartbeat. Slick-tongued rascal. Number seven. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. The adultery here has to do with betraying the truth. In other words, you have a married couple, and one in the marriage deviates from the environment of the household and goes off and does something that violates that union. And so when that happens, that's called adultery. So it's a word that we can't use in our vocabulary anymore because it's demeaning to people who are adulterers. But we have to use the words that we run across and therefore emphasize that as a teaching aid. And so when you deviate away from the standards of the Word of God, in essence, you become adulterous to the truth. That's the idea here. Number eight, Revelation 2:4. You have left your first love when you do that. What's your first love? It would be the truth, and you've deviated to the lie. Number nine, Revelation 2:5. Remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. So this is a description of those who go into reversionism, realize after a while they've made a very poor decision. They want to recover from this. Not only is a confession alone to God alone the first step in the process, but then you have to get back in doctrine and rebuild your inventory. I don't know if you've ever been involved in some kind of process which you had to learn in order to accomplish an objective, but oftentimes you can go into a business and you'll do something that you know how to do from can to can't. You've facilitated all of the steps so that you know how to do it almost blindfolded. And then they promote you to another area of the business. And then you become involved in that for a good long while. Then the person who used to do what you did in the past is ill and can't show up for a week. And since you used to do that, they'll call you down there to do his job till he can get back to work. And as you do that, you remember that you've forgotten some things along the way because you haven't done it every day. It was facilitated when you left the job to be promoted. But therefore, you have had these concepts, these steps, this process inhibited over the course of several years, and you've forgotten some things. So that's what happens in reversionism. You may have a lot of doctrine in your soul and rely on that. Go into reversionism, you're forgetting everything you left behind, and you're getting new information from the dark side. Those are the ones that are being facilitated. And then when you go back and decide to recover from aversionism, you've got to start all over to rebuild the inventory to paths of least resistance. And that is the danger of aversionism. So remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. In other words, get back to studying the Word of God. Finally, number 10, Revelation 3:16, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. These are people that are believers. They go to church every Sunday. They sing the songs, do everything that you can expect of a person in a local church. they hand out these hymnals and do everything you can want a person to do. But they're not positive to what's being taught from the pulpit. And so this, by the way, is from Revelation 3:16. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. These chapters 2 and 3 are Nike Award passages, so that's also involved in that particular verse. Client nations collapse because of the loss of thought regarding establishment of biblical absolutes. So we have that problem confronting us today. Now, we're soldiers for Christ. We're people who are designed to stand in the gap. It doesn't matter what you do, what you know, where you go, or anything. None of your personal, habits, things that you have to do, the job you go to, none of these things matter. Because when you enter into the Lord's army, you're a front ranker. You're equal to everybody else, but you have to rely on the doctrine you know. And so in any situation, we've got, I don't know what they call it, Jordan, but when you raise your right hand and swear to defend the country, I don't know what the bottom rank is in the Air Force. I don't know. He doesn't know. I don't know either. But when you go in, you're the bottom guy. And there are people above you who've been around longer, have done more, learned more, and been promoted to other areas of responsibility. So in the body of Christ, there are those who are new to the idea of learning divine thought, retaining it, and applying it. You can only apply what you know. But that is the important part of the process. You have to apply what you know. Other concepts will emerge over time, and you'll be, let's say, as an illustration, promoted up the line. So ultimately, you're a mature believer. But everybody comes together as the Lord's army. And the people in the Lord's army, filled with the Holy Spirit, applying what they know, is the defense we have against the fifth columns in this country. God will take care of the details. You just do your part. So when truth is ignored, the cosmic lie fills the resultant vacuum. During that period, the five cycles of discipline convey warning signs of national collapse. We have plenty of warning signs today. So here's one passage of Scripture that describes these historical downtrends. We're taking a look now at Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hosea is writing during a period of Israeli history when there is negative volition in the land. And he's trying to get across in his book some information that will guide them back to the truth. But here is a little bit of a downtrend, let's say. Hear the word of the Lord, you citizens of Israel. That would be the northern kingdom, client nation in decline. So the citizens are there. Because the Lord has a legal case against the inhabitants of the land. This is a legal case. You've deviated from the divine standards of the Mosaic law. This is a Hosea. And as a result of that, you've lost the thought and therefore vulnerable to an outside force. Because the Lord has a legal case against the inhabitants of the land. These would be Jews. Because nothing of doctrine is being taught. And nothing of grace is being applied. There is no knowledge of God in the land. Now, this is northern kingdom, Samaria. Verse 2. Instead, there is lying. That's loss of integrity, virtue, and honesty. If you lose touch with the truth, then it's easy to lie. Instead, there is lying, deception, murder, and adultery. Therefore, violence and terrorism. That's bloodshed follows bloodshed. When a client nation is in decline, they've lost the thought. As a result of that, they don't have integrity anymore, and a predator nation can come in and take them down. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Verse 3, consequently, the land mourns, and all who live in it languish. That's loss of cultural identity. People are dispirited, but rather there's also a lot of self-centeredness. When things are coming unwound, when the environment in which you function is no longer solid, but seems to be deteriorating, then there's going to be a lot of mental attitude problems, soulish problems, fear, and that kind of thing. Consequently, the land mourns and all who live in it languish, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea perish. Therion, or the beasts, these are the animals. Patanon, these are the birds, and Nauleus, these are the fish. So within the client nation, there is upheaval within the land itself. And even the animals and the fish and the birds suffer. Verse 4, yet no one finds fault. Everything is going just fine, thank you. Yet no one is at fault. Let no one offer criticism. Your citizens are like those who are contending with the priesthood, which means negative volition to studying the Mosaic law. Verse 5. Therefore, you have stumbled in the daylight. In other words, freedom. You had freedom. You stumbled when the sun was out. And even the false prophet will stumble with you in the night darkness. That's national decline. And listen to this. I will destroy your mother. Now, nobody wants anybody to mess with mama. Okay? You do whatever you want to do, but don't talk about mama. We can fight about that. How about in this context, see, everybody loves their mother. She can rob the Chase Manhattan. She can be a dope fiend. She can steal cars, live north of Delmar. Whatever it is, you love your mama. Your mama's A number one. Don't mess with her. But when your mother happens to be the power of the Word of God, and you deny that, when you deny the freedom and prosperity that is evident within a client nation simply because of maintaining the thought of the Word of God and make good decisions from that inventory, and then when you lose that thought, you are betraying the motherland. And it'll take you be taken down and you'll suffer from it. And so client nation Israel is the mother here. Daylight in verse 5. You stumbled in the daylight. Refers to clear doctrinal teaching with clear warnings from the prophets and the priests. The information is there. It used to be taught. You bought into it and believed it. You deviated from the standard. Therefore, what used to be facilitated is now inhibited. You've lost the thought, and you're vulnerable to the heathen adversaries that are ready to come in and take you down. That's where we are in client nation America today. We've rejected the thought. And because of that, we're vulnerable to those people described in this passage. Clear biblical warnings that communicated truth, this emeth in the Hebrew, were ignored. Biblical warnings that communicated the truth were ignored so that they stumbled in the daylight. See, everything can be fine for a while, but if you're losing the thought over a period of time, there therefore is inhibition of Bible doctrine and facilitation of the lie. But while we're still in the daylight here, our nation still has daylight because there's enough establishment standards, primarily from our Constitution, establishment-wise, and from the Word of God were the remaining force from biblical-oriented believers. So we're still in the daylight. Clear biblical warnings that communicated truth were ignored, so they stumble in daylight, although they have been informed about their collective negativity. The false teachers become worse than those in the congregations. The former are accepted communicators, while the latter are innocently brainwashed. There are those who are false teachers. They are the accepted communicators, and then there are those in the congregations. They are being innocently brainwashed because they have forgotten the doctrine that they once knew, and now they've bought into the lie. Thus, an odd dichotomy emerges. The negative heathen, through negative volition, believe the lie. Look, God does not honor the lie. If you deviate and start accepting standards from society and say, this is fine, I don't see anything wrong with this, I don't know why I've been missing out on this all this time anyhow. So that's the thing that you can get into when you leave the truth, you're going to buy the lie. This whole passage is about an entire society that did that, and they were taken down. The false teachers become worse than those in the congregations. The former are accepted communicators, while the latter are innocently brainwashed. Thus, an odd dichotomy emerges. The negative heathen, through negative volition, believe the lie, while those who are allegedly saved believe what they're told is the truth. Tragically, they are indoctrinated to believe the lie. Then we have Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of doctrine. Because you have rejected doctrine. What do we mean by doctrine here? There are 11 categories of systematic theology. We should have brought the picture. If there are 11 categories of systematic theology, then within each category, there's a system of doctrines that define that. Take salvation, soteriology. There are principles that line up under that heading having to do with salvation and the ramifications from being positive, the ramifications of being negative. And so you can build several doctrines on the concept of Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the working object of your faith for salvation and eternal life. And there are several things having to do with all of that. Eschatology has to do with prophecy. So if you're going to study prophecy, there are many categories that have to be understood to get in your mind what prophecy is, how does it function, when is it completed, is it in the future, was it in the past, is it in the present. So there's all kinds of things to know, and study of the Word of God gives you information in all 11 categories. And so this is a growth process. So since you have neglected the doctrine of your God, I also will reject your progeny, is a translation. That's an expanded translation. Progeny, the next generation suffered the fifth cycle of discipline imposed by the Assyrians in 721 B.C. So here we are in client nation America. There are people who are old like me, people of middle age like some of y'all, people who are young like some of you. There are children that are involved. Who is it that suffers the most when a client nation ultimately declines and then falls? I also will reject your progeny. Why is that? Let me tell you why. Why is that? This is Hosea. This is B.C. We're talking about what happened in 721 B.C. I will forget your progeny, your children. Why? What do the children have to do with this? When you spend an entire century telling children in the federal schools that the lie is the truth, and they believe that, and build their whole inventory of ideas based on the lie that they believe is true, then when finally a predator nation comes in and takes down the client nation, who is it that is going to suffer the most? Those who were taught the lie from can till can't. The children will suffer. We who have some inventory and have not been totally propagandized by the left, we can say, well, we could see this coming over the mountain. But the children don't know. They are vulnerable. Now, God loves the little children, but He can't stop the free will of men. That is open season. That your volition is free to make whatever decision you want to make, good, bad, or indifferent. But when an entire society begins to buy the lie, it spreads throughout the commonwealth, and these are the standards by which people make decisions, and it's all based on the lie. Somehow, some way, someday, the whole system implodes, and those who are the most vulnerable are the children. And what happened? Fifth cycle hit the next generation and took down the northern kingdom. Paragraph D, the indoctrination of client nation America. Oh, my. See, this is right now, paragraph D. Hosea 4, 1 through 6 confirms Solomon's wise analysis of the constantly repeated ways of the world. In other words, what Solomon is going to write, and you know when Solomon wrote? Around the year, 900-ish B.C. So we go back in time, and now this could be on the front. Well, this would not be on the front page, but it would be something that would be current with those who know the current lay of the land. But get how old this is. I don't do the math, but we've got 2,000 years now in A.D. And then you got this is almost 3,000 years ago. Ecclesiastes 1:9. That which has been is that which will be. We could stop right there. There's a rise and there's a fall. There's an ebb and there's a flow. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever we go through has been done before. Verse 10. Is there anything of which one might say, quote, see this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages which were before us. So Solomon said that this goes back way beyond 900 B.C. How about all the way back to Eden? Verse 11. There is no remembrance of earlier things. And also of the later things which will occur, there will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. In other words, here we are in client nation America, here we are on planet Earth, and anything that we see around us going on has been here before. And so what are we to conclude from this? Anyone? Being here alive on planet Earth is hell to pay. Unless you can get inside that bubble. That's where things are copacetic. If you can manage all the incoming flak from a divine viewpoint and understand there's nothing new under the sun, when you understand that client nations have risen and client nations have faded, and then another one has picked it up, when you have trouble in your personal life, whatever personal problem you've got is not new to you in the sense that it's not new at all. It's happened over and over and over again. Were your decision involved? Maybe yes, maybe no. But people have had bad decisions of others have ramifications on you, and you have to deal with that. Nothing new under the sun. So don't say, when the day happens, don't say, this is not fair. It's not about being fair. It's about what are you going to do with the incoming flak when it happens? Do you have anything in your inventory of ideas of absolute truth that will help you evaluate the circumstance and give you guidance on how you are going to deal with it? Well, you say, well, I've been trying to deal with thus and so all my life. Well, that's your burden to bear. But you can't give up. You can't say, woe is me. You can't say, this is not fair. It is a part of this has been done before. There is no remembrance of earlier things and also of the latter things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. Now, Hosea's starkly precise prophecy of the fall of the northern kingdom was not recalled by the citizens of the southern kingdom in 586 B.C. Since they did not remember their own history, they were vulnerable to suffer the same fate. Let me give you this little blurb at the bottom and we'll call it off for the day. In the first year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar led a force into Palestine and subdued the Jews, carrying off numerous captives, and this including Daniel, referencing 2 Kings 24, 1 through 9, and Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar led a force into Palestine and subdued the Jews. Then Zedekiah of Judah in the first year of his reign, 597, rebelled again, and Nebuchadnezzar invaded once more, taking additional captives. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar faced another rebellion and this time besieged Jerusalem, 588 to 586 B.C., and destroyed it along with the temple, bringing to an end the kingdom of Judah. Now, some of you may have been to Israel. There are people who can go to a travel agent and say, I'd like to make a trip to Israel. I'd like to go there. So you can get that lined up and you can go. They'll fly you over there and you can go walk around town. And what you can see is the Wailing Wall. You've seen pictures of it. I'm sure it's just a big wall. And the Jews go there to pray and they stick their prayers into the little crevices of the wall. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar faced another rebellion, this time besieged Jerusalem, 586 B.C., and destroyed it along with the temple, bringing to an end the kingdom of Judah, 2 Kings 25, 1 through 21. There just ain't nothing new under the sun. Orient and adjust. We'll resume our study Wednesday evening. If, by the way, there's a snow in the forecast. It only snows on Wednesdays now. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Kares human kai rene, plethun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.